If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. We're going through a book called Proverbs. Proverbs is just what it sounds like. It's a lot of proverbs, a lot of teachings, wise teachings about life and faith and all that kind of good stuff. And we're still in Proverbs 1. We're going to be jumping around, but we're in Proverbs 1 starting in verse 20. If you don't have a Bible of your own, there's a burgundy Bible in the seats in front of you, and I'd love to have you just pull that out. You can follow along with us this morning in Proverbs. Now, today we're talking about the dangers of rejecting wisdom. Last week we talked about the benefits of wisdom and following wisdom. This week we're going to be talking about the dangers of rejecting wisdom. Now, I'm always got my sermon brain going during the week as I'm looking at life and experiences and what goes on in my life and those around me. And I was thinking about rejecting wisdom, and I pulled out onto Interstate Drive, headed towards Lowe's, and this truck in front of me pulls out, and it's pulling this load. Do you have a picture of that? And this was him. Yeah, that's what I thought too. My first thought was, oh my goodness, somebody's going to get killed. And so I followed behind the guy for a while, waiting for it to topple. And it didn't. And then I thought, what a great sermon clip. So I took a picture. Go ahead and cut that off before anybody reads the license plates. I was like, who agreed to put that in the back of the truck? I didn't see a strap over the top of that or anything. And I could just see that being me 20 years ago going, oh yeah, this truck is awesome. It can carry anything. Just put it on. Straps, I don't need any straps. I'm the best driver in the world, right? And usually that would wind up bad for me in the decision that I would make. And today as we look at wisdom, wisdom affects every area of our life. It's the matter of listening to others who may simply be the guy that loads trucks at Lowe's going, this is not a good idea. You should come back for a second load later. It's just listening to that voice of wisdom from wherever it may come. And sometimes it may even come from your own kids, right? Sometimes my kids will say, Dad, I don't think we should do that. I've got this. I'm Dad. Only to make a bit of a fool of myself, right? So today, this proverb is written as someone named Wisdom, as Wisdom itself, calling out to the masses, saying, listen to me. Listen to my voice, and I will take care of you. So verse 20 is where we'll start. It says, Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I will share my heart with you and make you wise. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, there's so much wisdom in your Bible, so much wisdom that you have shared with us from people in our lives. But Lord, there are dangers when we reject it. You warn us about it here. And I pray, Lord, that myself and each one of us in here will begin to tune our ears to your wisdom and allow your wisdom to penetrate our hearts, and then that we would choose to pass it on to others as well. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your bulletins, you can open those up, and we go through a little listening guide, just a way to help you stay focused and follow along. And then the first thing I want you to see there is that wisdom is available to all, to everybody. In this metaphor about wisdom, wisdom is calling out to the streets, calling out in the public streets, in the public areas, trying to get the attention of everybody around. And I would say to you that I believe God's desire is that all could have wisdom today. Now, all of us did not grow up with the same benefits, did we? Some of you grew up with a very hard life. Some grew up with a very privileged life. Some grew up with someone very wise as an example that you could follow in your life. Others grew up with someone as an example, as a parent or an aunt and uncle, of how not to live a life. We all have examples. But wisdom here is saying that if you will listen now, the course of your life moving forward can change. That from this day forward, you can begin to learn wisdom and live in a way that's different than your parents, different than your grandparents, different than your aunts and uncles, your cousins, or whomever. Have you ever wondered how it is that you'll see that one person come out of the same family that, man, they're always in trouble, always being arrested, always doing drugs, and yet there's that one person that comes out of that family and chooses to live differently? They've listened to the voice of wisdom. They've chosen a different path, and that's what wisdom is offering today. Will you choose to listen to wisdom? Will you choose to listen to a different path? Because it's being offered here today. It's available to all. Now, it says here, just walk with me verse by verse for just a second. It says, wisdom shouts in the streets and cries out in the public square. So does that sound like wisdom's trying to hide and be subtle? Or is wisdom being loud and almost obnoxious? Very clear. Right? 21, she calls to the crowds along the main street. Main street would be the business section. Main street, if you ever go to a small town in the ancient world, main street would be where they would sell all their wares. You'd walk down and you'd have all the fruits and the vegetables, and that's why they would call it the main street. But also to those gathered in the front of the city gate. The city gate in that time, if you read through the Old Testament, was where they conducted all manner of politics and justice. They didn't have a city hall where they would administer justice. They would go to the city gate. Why would they go to the city gate? Because everybody knew where the city gate was. And so at the same time each week, they could go to the city gate, and that's where they would do the justice settings. That's where they would go and settle arguments. That's where they would go and discuss the wise decisions or poor decisions for the whole city. Okay, so to the political realm. And boy, is the political realm heating up right now? I mean, I tell you what, I get more flyers. I don't know how much money they spend on those things, but it must work because I actually look at those things. And my prayer is that we seek out men and women of God that will live out the character. Live out the character that God teaches. And can I just say something? Again, this goes back to that wisdom from last week. Please don't believe everything you read. I mean, I can't believe how biblical every politician is all of a sudden. You know, I mean, every commercial I'm seeing, you know, they're stressing that. My question is, I hope it's true. I hope that they would have the same exact ad if they were advertising in California. Does that make sense? Where maybe it would not attract people. That our values and our faith are how we live when nobody else are watching. Not what we can put on the screen. Now, having said that, that's for me, that's the most important part. You know, does this person seek the wisdom of God more than their own wisdom? How do you know that? Prayer. Read more than the ads that they send you. Ask the Lord. Ask people that know. Okay? Wisdom. Because wisdom is available to all. All of our politicians, all of our teachers, all our government leaders. God is offering wisdom. And then 22, he says, how long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? Now, and then he goes on how mockers, mocking, fools, hate knowledge. Each one of these words are not referring to a person's intellectual capacity as far as simple-minded or fools or mockers. It refers to their character and their actions. Okay? So each one of us. Now, I've been a fool in my life. I've been the guy in the pickup truck that pulled out going, I can do this, when, and ignoring people's wisdom. But I hope as I move forward, as I listen to the voice of God, I will learn from him in all areas of my life. And I hope and pray that all of our leaders, political, spiritual, business, that they would seek God's wisdom out of here and seek to employ it in everyday living. And I would hope for you and I that we would do the same thing. But point number two, which is, believe it or not, encouraging to me, is that some people will reject wisdom. Some people will reject wisdom. Now, why is that encouraging to me? Because I see it happen all the time. And for a long time as a pastor, I thought maybe I was the problem. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever set anybody up for a win? Like you just helped them to the point that all they had to do was just show up. I mean, I've had people that I called, I went to bat for them. I called a friend of mine that was an employer. I knew they didn't have the best work record, but I thought this was going to be different. I set them up for the job. I put my reputation on the line. All they had to do was show up for the interview. And they didn't even do that. And then I looked so stupid because I went to bat for the person. You ever had that happen? Yeah. And yet, I would think, well, maybe I didn't tell them the right time. Maybe I wasn't clear enough. Maybe they didn't realize how important this decision was because they just asked me to borrow $50, so surely they want a job. Yeah, okay. So let's read these verses here. It says, I called you so often. This is wisdom speaking. Remember, it's a metaphor. This is, I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. Some people are going to reject wisdom. All of us at some time in our lives have rejected wisdom. All of us at some time in our lives have had that voice of the Lord speak to us and say, hey, don't go there, don't do that, don't make that decision, don't say that, and we've rejected it. Okay? But I want to encourage you and let you know that if you're trying to pour wisdom into your kids, you can't make them. If you're trying to pour wisdom into your cousin or your sister or your parents, you can't make them. At the end of the day, each one of us has a choice whether we'll receive wisdom or reject wisdom. That's on each one of us. And sometimes our flesh is what gets in the way because we want what we want when we want it. Even though we know that that boat comes with a 19% interest rate, and we know that it's going to put us in financial straits for a while, but the lake is calling, the fish are begging, and we got to get out there, right? Now, you pick it. What is it for you? What is it that the wisdom that you've heard, have you rejected? And moving forward, what are you going to begin to listen to? Because it's not too late. Wherever you're at, listen, I've made my share of stupid decisions in my life. And I've beat myself up over it, and I've hated it, but it doesn't do you any good to beat yourself up over it. You got to learn from that, right? Don't keep rejecting wisdom just because you did once or twice or just because you did last week. Change your mind today and decide you want to follow wisdom. Having said that, there are some that you will do everything you can for. And no matter what you do, they will still choose to reject wisdom. And when they do, if you keep trying to make it happen for them and doing all the work for them, you will enable them and send them further down a spiral. I've learned that I've got to do my part and give them a part to do on their own and not move forward until they do their part. Because I'm only enabling them if I do it all for them. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. Okay, number three, there are consequences to rejecting wisdom. If we reject wisdom, there are consequences. I like this in verse 26 to 27. Wisdom will laugh at you. Verse 26 to 27 says this, so I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. If you reject wisdom, it will hurt. And people will laugh at you. That's why they have YouTube videos, right? Speaking of which, let's watch this one. Simple wisdom, don't jump off a perfectly good roof, right? Ouch! How many of these videos are on YouTube? Like 5 billion? And how many people keep videotaping themselves jumping off a roof thinking they're the one that's going to get it right? We do the same thing in everyday life. Wisdom says, hey, don't spend all your money. Invest, prepare for the future. We'll look at that later on. The world says, hey, live life large now. Don't just spend what you got, but get a credit card and spend more than what you've got. When are we going to listen to wisdom? There will come a point sometimes where wisdom, we've rejected it so long that we'll cease to hear that voice anymore. Well, the next one, wisdom will not answer. It says, look at verse 28 through 30. It says, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Sometimes, because of your lack of listening to wisdom, you will have broken the relationship such to the point that there's no going back. If you choose to ignore wisdom in the way that you treat your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your children, your neighbors, there can come a point that you burn the bridge to where it's really, truly gone. And no matter how hard you decide you want to try to mend that bridge and rebuild that bridge, it may not be available anymore. Wisdom tries to warn us about that, not to get to that point. How often we reject wisdom until it's not offered anymore. Do you want to take that chance? I don't want to take that chance. Wisdom says to heal relationships. Wisdom says to overlook an offense. Wisdom says to forgive those who harm you. Wisdom says to choose righteousness over riches. Wisdom says to choose people. Wisdom teaches us these things, but if we reject them and we choose our own agenda first, we can burn the bridges that sometimes cannot be rebuilt. And you need to know that. That's why it's so important to start now. It's so important today, from this day forward, to choose wisdom, to choose God's ways over your ways, so that you don't get to that point where it's not able to be rebuilt. Listen, time does heal. You know, if the person is willing to repent, and there are things in my life, some decisions I made that were poor, and I almost don't even remember them anymore. My wife doesn't remember them anymore. It's like, how did that happen? Because we choose to turn away from that lack of wisdom and chose to turn to wisdom. And no matter how bad things are, and for some of you today, you came in and you're over your eyeballs in debt, and your relationships are struggling and in trouble, and your job is financially not providing, and it seems like the wall is so big. And yet I would tell you that if you'll choose to take this point and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to humble myself to you, and I want to start listening to your wisdom, God will show up. God is the only one that you can't burn all the bridges for until you get to heaven. He's the only one that, even as we see with the sinner on the cross, as he's hanging on the cross, he finally chooses to turn his eyes to Christ. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. God is the one that if we will cry out, he will hear us. He's the one that, as we sang in the song, reckless. It's crazy. He will leave the 99 to go and save the one. But we have to choose. We have to choose. Well, also, we have to pay the consequences of our foolishness. Verse 31 and 32. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. There is a price that we have to pay for rejecting wisdom. There are consequences. Now, in my life, I'm grateful that I had a mother and a father that let me realize that on my own. Parents, can I just encourage you, quit bailing your kids out of their problems. You're going to enable them in a way that they won't be able to function as adults. You've got to let the consequences of their action fall upon them and let them discover how they're going to pay for it. My parents were great for that. And I don't know that I am in every way, but I learned from their example. I got to the point where my kids love to run outside and be barefoot in the yard. Anybody else have kids love to be barefoot in the yard? Maybe that's a Tennessee thing. I don't know. I think it's a kid thing. And I would use my wife and I would get blue in the face. Put your shoes on. Put your shoes on. Finally, I told her, I said, honey, we were saying the same thing every day. They really don't care about it. We need to change our approach. So I said, okay, from this day forward, nobody has to wear shoes in the backyard if they don't want to. I said, but here's the deal. If you get a splinter, if you cut your foot open, if you get hurt, do not come and ask me for sympathy because you won't get any because we've told you to wear shoes. Well, that came to task short time later. And of course, it always happens when there's somebody else there, another adult. You know what I'm saying? So my kid comes up, got a big splinter in the foot, crying, oh, my foot. And sure enough, they stick it up there and there's a big splinter sticking out. And I never forget, she cries, she looks at me, she goes, Daddy, will you pull it out? I said, I'm sorry you're hurt. Did you have shoes on? She said, no. I said, talk to the hand. She said, what? I said, go pull your own splinter out. I said, what did I tell you about not wearing shoes? You wouldn't help if I didn't wear shoes. I said, that's right, so I'm not going to help you. Go pull it out. I'm sure the parent next to me was not going to nominate me for Parent of the Year Award. You know, I just sat there thinking, oh, they think I'm horrible. But I was going to hold to my guns because they're not going to learn about the importance of shoes if I bail them out every time. I remember one time, y'all remember Dukes of Hazzard? Anybody see Dukes of Hazzard? Do not see the new movie. Oh my goodness, I was so disappointed. I wanted my kids to get to see that with me and the language, I just had to turn it off. Because I love the fun of cars. I love old cars. And the Dukes of Hazzard in the old show, they would always jump things and, you know, they'd always get away and it was always like, woohoo. So there was this thrill hill, you know, near where I was living. And, you know, if you went over it at 35, it was like, ooh, all right, that's kind of cool. You went over at 55, it kind of got your stomach. So I kind of wanted to know what it'd be like to go over like Dukes of Hazzard. You know what I'm saying? It's like they would just like, and they'd always land and they'd just keep going. You know, cars aren't really built that way. Did you know that? It's like things break. So in my stupidity and not listening to wisdom, even though the sound of my dad was going through my mind, you know, drive wisely, drive safely, I decided to take that hill, and I did. Boy, I had 3 seconds of glory and months of paying for the broken tie rod, the broken axle, the wheels, and everything else that just... Did you know that when you hit, your wheels kind of like go like that? I mean, it's like... And the oil pan just kind of shoved up in there, and I just bought a new chrome oil pan, and yeah, it was worthless after that. And I didn't even bother calling my parents because I knew the answer would be, you broke it, you fix it. Because they had taught me a valuable lesson. There are consequences to ignoring wisdom. Employers, you need to help your whole team understand that. Parents, grandparents. Listen, grandparents, I know those kids are so cute, and I know you want them to never have to feel pain. And I don't know why grandparents lose their ever-living mind when they have kids, grandkids. Because when I was a kid, my parents had clear standards, you know what I'm saying? And then I had kids, and my mom, she forgot she had any rules. You know what I'm saying? And we had to have a conversation. I was like, Mom, listen, I love you. I know you love them, but you can't let them do what I tell them they can't do. Why not? I'm grandma. You know, I was like, okay, I don't know the answer to that. Because it doesn't work for me, the parent, right? Consequences. There are consequences when we ignore wisdom. I just want to encourage you. Scripture here is clear. Listen to wisdom. Listen. And then the last thing. There is peace and wisdom in Jesus Christ. This is really what the whole Bible points to. Jesus is the culmination of all wisdom. When we choose to follow him and we surrender our lives to him, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and speaks wisdom into our lives all the time about simple things. I mean, I really believe about simple things. I was talking to a friend this morning, and they were saying that they said they were wondering why, but they felt like the Lord told them on a Thursday night they were camping, they're supposed to leave Saturday to start packing everything up. So they started packing everything up. And he said, I didn't know why. I was still planning on staying until Saturday. Got everything packed up in the middle of the night. The electricity went out. He burned up a wire. He had to go home anyway. And he said, he looked back on it. He's like, you know what? The Lord was nudging me to do that. And what if I had not listened? Maybe it would have just been an inconvenience. But the Holy Spirit will do that. He will speak wisdom into your life about little things. Like, hey, call that person to encourage him. Or, hey, don't answer that person that wants to slander you and just ignore them. I mean, he will speak things into your life to help you understand how to deal with trials and tribulation. 1 Corinthians, if you got your Bibles, turn over there. It's page 949 in the Burgundy Bible. It's going to be my wrap-up passage, but I really want you to hear this because looking at wisdom in the New Testament, it talks about how the wisdom of the world isn't the same as the wisdom of the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. Remember, if you're here the first week, I put a board on stage and I showed four areas you could attain wisdom. And I talked about how even if you're not a Christian, so much of the wisdom is still available to you. And I know people that are not Christians that live a very wise life with the exception of having the Lord in their life. And so several areas of their life might be in sync. Because they've made some wise financial decisions. They've made some wise job decisions. But without Christ at the center, we're missing out on the greatest wisdom that we can find. And here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in 18, says the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligent of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it is all nonsense. But to those who are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let me read that last verse. But to those called by God for salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I get it. Christianity doesn't make sense in a lot of realms. Why would we give our lives up for people that we don't know? Why would Jesus come and live a perfect life and then die a brutal death for you and I? It's hard to wrap my head around that. And that question is being asked. I just saw a quote by the president of the Philippines. And he said, if anybody can show me any evidence that there is a God, I will resign today. My answer to his question would be, let me introduce you to people in our flock. People that love the Lord and live it out day in and day out. That's where the evidence is. Jesus said that you and I, we will be the light that the world will see. And maybe the president of the Philippines hasn't seen that light in people. Maybe he hasn't seen that love. And there's a lot of people out there that are asking the same question. Is God real? What they're really wondering is, will people love me? Is there truly this unconditional, forgiving love that's available even for me with all that I've done wrong? And the answer is yes, yes, and yes. God wants to rescue you in a reckless, crazy way. He loved you so much that he literally sent his one and only son to come and die on the cross, take the sin, our sin upon him, that we might be forgiven. The wisdom of God was to give up his son's life that all might have life. The wisdom of man says, I'm going to keep my life with all that I have. I'm going to protect myself from others. And the Lord calls us to just the opposite, to give our lives up. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your head with me. For some, you're here today and you've been running from God for a while. Maybe you gave your life to the Lord when you were younger or went to church, but you've been running for a while. And part of it's because of the way you've lived, and you're ashamed or you're embarrassed by some poor decisions you've made and making a fool of yourself. And you're sitting here wondering, is it too late? Is it too late to come back and have God change my ways? And the answer is no. As long as you're breathing, God is listening. You have a chance to turn from your ways today and turn to God. Others of you, you're believers in Christ, and yet you've been listening to the wisdom of the world. You've been rejecting what God's been whispering into your heart and your mind. And you've been trying to do it on your own, and it's time to give up. It's literally time to say, God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. And ask the Lord to rescue you. If you're here today and you're in one of those two situations, I want to invite you to come to him and let him rescue you. Let him leave the 99 as the illustration, and let him come to you as the one and receive his love. If God's speaking to you, then he says in here over and over, it's a choice. If God's speaking to you, then make the choice now to pray and give it all to him today. If he's speaking to you, then pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me. God, I need your wisdom. I can't do it on my own. Please forgive me for the sins of my past. Today, I surrender all to you. I want to proclaim Jesus Christ as my Savior and live in your wisdom going forward. Help me, Lord, because I'm going to need your help. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.